When Vincent van Gogh began his career as an artist, he had already failed at everything else. He even got fired from his own family's business in the process. Not seeing any alternative, he completely immersed himself in art. In 1 2-week period, he created 120 drawings. But exactly none of those drawings are famous today. This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. Last week, I talked about the iceberg principle, the idea that any masterpiece you see is just the tip of the iceberg. There's far more knowledge and experience beneath the surface, giving that masterpiece confidence and grace. But as you're adding layer after layer to your iceberg, it doesn't feel like that's what you're doing. It feels like you're wasting energy. But you're not. After Van Gogh's frenzied first couple weeks seriously pursuing art, he settled in on a more conservative pace. Instead of 120 drawings in 2 weeks, he was instead shooting to make just 20 a week. He figured that's how many he'd have to make to end up with one good piece each week. What feels like waste can take many forms. It can be failed projects. You made something, nobody likes it. You can be off on timing. Nobody likes it yet, but someday someone will or might. Unfinished projects. You started, you got a little ways, maybe shiny object syndrome took over. For whatever reason, you didn't finish. Research and preparation. You don't always know what you're trying to learn, but all sorts of tinkering may seem like a waste. Sometimes what feels like waste makes it directly into a current or future project, thus making it clearly not waste. But even the stuff that never becomes a part of your body of work is part of the creative game. I talked in episode 256 about the barbell strategy. To succeed in creative work, put most of your efforts towards sure bets that protect your downside and keep you in the game. With the rest of your time and energy, play wild cards that have a chance of big upside. Creative work happens in extremistan, not mediocristan. Success won't be a steady climb up and to the right. Instead, it will look more like a poorly shaped porcupine. Long periods of time where it doesn't seem like much is happening, punctuated by big spikes that level up your career one at a time. Yes, you're showing up every day and putting in the work, but all that is a series of small bets. You hope for one or two or a few to turn into positive black swans. Projects that take off and take on a life of their own. In the course of playing this strategy, you can't tell what will be wasted and what will not. You have to trust that waste is part of the process. Projects will fail. Projects will go unfinished. Iterations will burn in the fire. That doesn't make you a procrastinator or a dilettante. That makes you a creator. Vincent van Gogh's first masterpiece was full of waste. He did not just a sketch, but a small study, a medium study, and a print he could give out to test his idea. This was all before working on the final canvas, and that had many iterations and 4 coats of varnish, and he left it in his friend's studio to prevent himself from spoiling it. Then he came back and worked on it some more. All that waste was on top of the years of work he did leading up to the project. The painting was about peasants, and he wandered around living like a peasant himself, begging people to model for him, and there was the 20 drawings a week he had done. And those 120 drawings he did in a 2-week period? We don't even know what they look like, because he destroyed them. Once this first masterpiece, The Potato Eaters, was done, it must have felt like a waste to Vincent. Everyone hated it. He got in a fight with his brother about it, and he completely cut off a friend who attacked it viciously. Vincent van Gogh's first masterpiece was the result of a lot of waste. Each of those drawings was a failed project. Surely many were left unfinished. He did a massive amount of research and preparation, and he was certainly off on timing. The Potato Eaters is regarded as a masterpiece today. You already heard last week about how any masterpiece is just the tip of the iceberg, There's far more below the surface, so what new do you learn from creative waste? Sometimes you can't see the tip of the iceberg. Sometimes it all just feels like waste. Your projects are failing, and your preparation and planning isn't getting you anywhere, causing you to leave projects unfinished. Just remember that other creators have embraced creative waste. I told you last week about how Margaret Mitchell rewrote nearly every chapter of Gone with the Wind at least 20 times. Jerry Seinfeld says joke writing is 95% rewrite. Meredith Monk's charts and graphs go to waste and don't end up in the final performance. And Stephen King reminds you to kill your darlings. Those are all fine when you're deep in a project and you can see where it's going, but what do you do when entire projects get scrapped? That's when you need to remind yourself of the approach Picasso took to his paintings. He did one after another. He saw them as like pages in his journal. He understood that not all his works would be successful. Even once he had finished a piece, he didn't know its true fate. The future will choose the pages it prefers, he said. It's not up to me to make the choice. Embrace creative waste. No waste, no wins. One thing I've learned in over a decade as an independent creator is to invest in ideas. They really are everything. Most of them don't work out, but the ones that do can be big. I had one idea that led to a book deal and transformed my life. I had another idea that connected me with a company that later sold to Google, which brought a surprise payday. Big ideas start small, and the place I share my ideas first is my weekly newsletter. It's called Love Mondays, and each week I share a big little idea about how to break through to become a true original and make it as a creator. I also share my favorite quotes and books and tools for thought. Think of Love Mondays as like a shot of creative fuel to start off your week. There's several thousand subscribers. We're having a good time. Join Love Mondays at kdv.co/newsletter. That's kdv.co/newsletter. You might have noticed I don't have ads on Love Your Work. I haven't had them for a long time now. In fact, a big company whose name you would definitely recognize offered me money to advertise in the show recently, and I had to turn it down. Why? Because some money feels good, some money feels not as good. When I see that somebody bought one of my books, that feels good. When a company advertises on the show, I mean, it's money, but that doesn't feel quite as good. Another kind of money that feels really good is the money I get from my Patreon supporters. It feels like an honest exchange. It's a vote of confidence that they like the show. Since I myself support a number of creators on Patreon, I know it feels good to vote with my dollars and support the kind of work I would like to see in the world. And that's what I'm trying to do here. Make the kind of podcast I want to listen to and share the ideas I want to see in the world. So if you like the show, a great way to let me know is to support the show on Patreon. Even a few bucks a month helps. It really adds up over all the dedicated listeners, and it motivates me to keep doing what I'm doing. If you'd like to support the show, visit the Patreon page at patreon.com/katavi. You'll see the different levels and perks available. Even if you're on the fence, check out the page. Again, it's at patreon.com/katavi. That's patreon.com/katavi. Thanks for your support. Love Your Work is brought to you exclusively by our Patreon supporters, including top supporters Jeffrey Mason, Bob Rosen, and Pravin Shaker. The theme music for Love Your Work is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Katavi, Inc.